Live and Lansing, Jack Ebling is on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back, Ebling and you, 1320 WILS. Hour two for Thursday, October 7th, 2010. Scott's going to be like this all weekend, I hear. Should be beautiful weather for the football game. Got to savor these days. Don't know how many you're going to get quite like this. I want to welcome in our next guest, and she is Maggie Martin, former Army Sergeant, and she is in Washington, D.C., I believe, as we speak. And the Iraq Veterans Against the War, launching its first veteran-led campaign, Operation Recovery, to stop the deployment of traumatized troops. Hello, Maggie. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
You are from Clio, is that right?
I am. I was raised in Clio.
All right. And you were in the United States Army for how long?
For 5 years and some change, just over 5 years.
All right. 5 years there, and this is a very important day. We think back about American foreign policy. October 7th marks the 9th anniversary of the war in Afghanistan, which officially makes it the longest war in U.S. history. You have served overseas. You have served in Iraq. What is it about this war in Afghanistan that people do not understand?
Well, I think the thing that we don't understand is what's the strategy? What's the plan? What are we fighting for at this point?
Mm-hmm. Did you understand that in Iraq?
No, I didn't understand that in Iraq either.
Okay, you were in the military for 5 years. Would you say that you were questioning policy most of that time, or did something happen during your stay that made you think, why am I here?
Well, before I went to Iraq with the initial invasion, I bought all the rhetoric. I thought that we were going over there to find weapons of mass destruction, and then when that turned out not to be true, I thought we were going over there to liberate the Iraqi people. And just over time, I started to see us building up our own bases and bringing truckloads of Iraqis in to work for next to nothing on our military bases while we guarded them with weapons. And it just made me question what we were doing over there.
Maggie, would you say that you are in a definite minority who feel that way now, or are a lot of other service people who were in Iraq and Afghanistan coming to those conclusions?
I think that it's a majority of people coming to those conclusions.
A majority?
Yes, absolutely. And I think that, it's a big step in between questioning those reasons why we're there and speaking out against it, because the culture in the military is really, do what you're told, drive on, and keep pushing forward.
All right. Was there a particular incident, was there one thing you can point to that you saw that you said, that's not me, I'm not going to be part of this?
Well, like I mentioned, us bringing truckloads of Iraqis in to work on our...
what you said before.
Right. And that was when I really started to question what was happening. And I had developed a relationship with Iraqi people on my first deployment. It was a lot different than the second time I went back in 2005. And we were just kind of functioning on a totally different level. We weren't interacting with the people, in my experience.
All right. When you saw this, this was how long into your 5 years, Maggie?
Well, my last deployment was my fifth year. I got involuntarily extended stop loss to deploy on my last deployment.
Okay. So when you realized that there was something that wasn't quite right, didn't pass the smell test, this was late within your 5 years?
It was.
All right. And how did you voice your objections, and how were they received?
I didn't know how to voice my objections. What it really was just a lot of us soldiers that were sitting around there every day talking about how messed up the situation was and wondering why we were there and how long it was going to continue. But I had no idea, how to speak out about it, how to take a stand, how to voice my opinion in any real way.
Maggie, I'm blown away by one thing you said, and you said you thought this was a majority of those serving in Iraq and Afghanistan feel this way. I just figured that this was a splinter group or a very vocal minority.
I don't think so at all. And again, I think that people feel that they can't speak out. I think that people think that because they signed a contract to be in the military, that they signed away their rights and that they have to do what they're told as part of their job.
All right. Maggie Martin, former Army Sergeant, Operation Recovery. Stop the deployment of traumatized troops, and that rally going on today, March. Was this a march in Washington?
It was a march. We started with a ceremony at Walter Reed, followed by a six-mile march to Capitol Hill, where we had a press conference. People gave personal testimonies, and then we delivered a notice to all of the offices of the members of the Senate Armed Service Committee.
All right. You have to explain this concept of traumatized troops. I thought if someone was traumatized, that they would be removed from the field of battle. They would be put in an Army hospital. They would be otherwise treated. Are you telling me that someone with diagnosed trauma is being sent out on the firing line?
Absolutely. At least 20% of our service members that we're sending to Iraq and Afghanistan right now have been exposed to trauma. They have a PTSD diagnosis, traumatic brain injury, military sexual trauma, or they're on psychotropic drugs or antidepressants.
We hear about suicides in the military and incidents where people turn on their own. I would imagine if someone is psychologically unstable or they've been traumatized, wouldn't they be more inclined to commit suicide?
Absolutely. And the suicide rates are a direct result of the repeated deployments. People who deploy more than once have a much higher rate of having PTSD, and people who have been diagnosed with PTSD are six times more likely to commit suicide or to attempt suicide.
Did you know anyone who committed suicide when they were in Iraq?
I didn't know the person, but while I was there at Camp Taji in 2005, there were two suicides on my camp.
All right. Why does the military deploy traumatized troops? Is it just a matter of needing numbers and they figure they have trained personnel?
I think it's a mix of that and the individual units wanting to maintain a high level of readiness. And so they push their soldiers as far as they possibly can to say that they're deployable, because it looks good for unit commanders to have a highly deployable unit.
All right.
And so nobody wants the stigma that's involved with having a lot of soldiers that are in the mental health care system. And the help really isn't there for people who do need it and are seeking help.
I'm sure there's a clinical definition of trauma for troops, but aren't all military troops traumatized to some degree?
Absolutely. I think they are, for sure.
I mean, what was the most traumatic thing that you experienced while you were serving?
The thing that was most traumatic for me when I was overseas was that I was married and my marriage was falling apart, which is, you know, people don't really take that as like a war story, but that's the case for an awful, awful lot of military men and women who are overseas. You know, repeated deployments are hard on relationships, and you know, when your marriage is falling apart and you're across the ocean and you can only talk once in a while, it really takes a hard mental toll on people, and that was my experience.
Why did you go to Iraq?
Because I didn't know how not to.
You saw the situation, and you were caught up in it to some degree?
Well, I just thought, as a member of the military, that I had no choice in the matter. When you're in, they really make you think that if you don't toe the line, if you don't do what you're told, that your whole life is going to be ruined. You're never going to be able to find a job. You're not going to get any of the benefits that you earn through your service. So it's really just, you know, power that the military has over you to keep you in line.
All right. How many members of Iraq Veterans Against the War?
Last time I checked, there was about 1,600 members.
1,600, okay. Well, thank you for joining us. We appreciate the information, a little bit different perspective on this ninth anniversary of the beginning of the war in Afghanistan, the longest war in U.S. history. We've been talking with Maggie Martin, former Army sergeant, 5 years in the service, talking about stopping the deployment of traumatized troops overseas.